You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, July 23rd, episode 3738. Good morning, horse people.
Ah, Wednesday, the day we cover Glenn's favorite topic, horse health. And Jamie makes you feel better about yourself with the latest weird news from around the world.
Let's go.
Happy Wednesday.
Well, good morning. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We have a couple of fun guests. One of your friends and another certified instructor, right?
Oh, my gosh. He is one of my favorite certified instructors from Monty Roberts' whole program. His name is Manjeev, and he is from India, and he is the only certified instructor in India. This is the coolest dude. I swear, he's a polo player as well. And so I remember when he was a student and I was teaching the courses, he would drive, come down when he was doing his internship. Glenn, check this out. He would have a polo mallet and he would ride his bicycle and he would, on the gravel roads, play polo all the way down to the classroom and back, bouncing it on the mallet up and down. I mean, it was the coolest thing. Like, this dude is, he's got game. He's a polo player. What are we going
to
do?
We have him on because we're continuing our breeds of the alphabet, and we're up to M, and he's talking about the Marwari horse, which is native of India, I think. So
yes, and he has some, so it'll be exciting to talk
good.
To him.
Yay. I know when I asked you about M, you said, I know the guy.
I got the guy.
And then we also have Miriam joining us. She's managing director at Schleza Saddlery, and she's going to discuss how poor saddle fit can masquerade as something else entirely, and why saddle fit, and a couple different parts of saddle fit that you really should be looking for. We also have some weird news coming up at the end of the show. Before we get started, rest in peace, Ozzy. Now, did you ever meet Ozzy in your radio career?
I did not meet Ozzy. I did meet Sharon, his wife, when they started doing the reality show that they had. She went on the media tour.
Oh, she was
tour.
On the press tour?
Yeah.
So
he didn't go.
Well, you know, isn't it so cool that he got to do that one last concert a couple weeks ago, though? I mean,
I know.
That was awesome. It's like what he was waiting for, right? Well, yesterday, a little more locally here at the farm, yesterday we had the worst storms we've had all year, and it wasn't wind. It was, you've been to Florida, you know what the pop-up storms are like. Well, they popped up about 4 in the morning and didn't quit till about 4 in the afternoon. We had an entire day of, it was wicked lightning like I haven't seen before. And we're on a little bit of a hill, so we can see kind of all directions. And it was cloud lightning at first, most dramatic cloud lightning I've ever seen. And then lightning strikes. And one of our big trees in the back, one of our pine trees, got nailed yesterday.
My friend lost her horse in Florida. Just random pop-up lightning strike and hit her horse. Like, I'm terrified.
Well, fortunately, we have these big, tall pine trees in the back, and they're set up on a hill, and the tallest one got hit, blew the bark off of it. Tree's still standing, but all the bark, you know, got blown off, and there's this big stripe down it, and the bottom of it's all burnt, and there's a hole where it went into the ground by the tree.
Wow.
It looked like somebody dug a hole. We know which one that was because I, you know, we heard the thunder and I went, oh, that was close. That was really close. I didn't know it was behind our barn. So all day it was like that. We had the computers off most of the day yesterday because the lightning just would not end. And then I saw this morning that they said there were 20,000 lightning strikes in Florida alone in 24 hours yesterday.
Wow, that's incredible. That sounds like Oklahoma. Where are you? What are you doing?
Yeah, in Oklahoma, though, you tend to have the systems that roll through. They don't tend to sit on top of you and just stay. You
know, no, that's Florida's magic. That's hurricane magic right there.
Yeah. So anyway, we had a close one yesterday. That was fun. All right, let's do some daily winnies.
Happy birthday.
Well, happy birthday to Leah Horn and Geraldine Brown, two of our terrific auditors. We hope you have a wonderful day. And also, we have a brand new auditor, Gary Lynn Olson. I was chatting with her on Facebook yesterday. She's also a pretty new listener. So welcome on both counts, and we're glad that you've become part of our auditor family. And now it's your turn.
Well, I have to say it. Today's my mama's birthday. She would have been 80 today, so which she would have hated it being her 80th birthday. And she would have told everybody, as she did my entire life, that she was 39. So happy 39th birthday,
When was hers
birthday,
today
mama.
Or yesterday?
It's today.
Because Jennifer's was yesterday, mom.
Oh.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Yeah.
Yeah, that is funny.
So, so happy birthday, mom. We know you're listening.
I would also like to say that, like, you know, just on a different note, I'm super excited kind of about the turn of my business, Glenn. You know, I've been training horses for so long, and usually with my certification, it's horses that typically have been to like a ton of other trainers and then come to me and they have some behavior problems or
whatever.
Here,
Jamie, you fix it.
I had a long string of horses trying to murder me, but now I don't have Farm Boy anymore. So I have had to kind of redirect business, and I'm super excited to welcome a new racehorse to my barn tomorrow. Now, this is so exciting. Okay. So his name is Mazuma, and I've been to the track to watch him race. He is a son of American Pharoah, and he has been running at Remington. And I have these two other racehorses, one that had a tendon, and so I'm helping him out. And then I've got a horse that just had kissing spine surgery. And this horse is coming tomorrow morning for, like, he gets the summer off. And so they want to do some fitness stuff. He's having some stifle locking issues and other stuff. So I get to rehab.
You're playing therapist.
An actual racehorse. Like, he's going to go back
racing.
To the track
okay.
when
oh,
I'm done.
Okay, yeah, that's unusual for you.
I know. Lord willing.
They're letting you touch an actual racehorse, not one that's retired. Wow.
It's so cool. So I'm pretty excited about that. I've been doing my Pulse stuff.
Yeah, and I was going to say, you're certified in Pulse now, right?
Yeah, I'm Pulse certified, and I've also got a red light therapy machine. I've got all sorts of different red light situations, and so I'm really excited to kind
You're
of implement.
Have to change the name to Flyover Therapy Farm.
I'm working on it. No, I'm just kidding. I can't do all that. I have an LLC in my name, my bank account. No, it's just going to stay.
Just put a little wooden piece below your sign that says, "And we do therapy too."
And therapy. I'll have your brother build it.
Yeah, there
He's
you go.
He's the one who does all the signs. EasySignsOnline.com. I'll have him to a like it hooks from the chain, like underneath. It'll blow in the wind.
Are you enjoying it? That part?
Oh my God, I love it so much. So like what I've been doing.
It's a little safer for your body parts too.
Well, and it requires some thinking and patience. So I guess that we're going to have next week is somebody that I booked that I just took a course on physiotherapy and like stretches and different movements. And I bought this course and I just finished the course yesterday and I started implementing all of it today, this morning. I got 5 horses done. They've got to all like have with kissing spine surgery. You know, there's not a whole lot of information on how to rehab the horse afterwards. So I found this lady in England.
I wonder how many actually go to the trouble of having it done. You know what I mean?
It's just, what's the point if you don't? So I've been doing a lot of research into it, and I found this lady in England, and hopefully she's going to come on next week and talk a lot about kissing spine rehab, but all these stretches and all the, I had to do carrot stretches. And of course the racehorse hates carrots, but Ace really liked them. So I got to practice all the stretches on Ace, and he was like, yeah, give me
anything.
That carrot. Yeah, he's all in. So it was really fun. So I'm really excited kind of to have some new type business come out there. I got out at 6 o'clock this morning. I've got elevated trot pulls in a circle. I'm coming up with all these cool ways. When they hay my field, I'm going to be able to ride up the hills again. Like, there's lots of cool stuff that I'm really excited about doing, but they're all in kind of various degrees of therapy. So it's kind of fun to play with all of them and test it all out.
A little safer for your broken body too.
That's true. My body's not, knock on wood, number one, I'm not gonna finish that sentence. I don't want to jinx myself.
All right, congratulations. And therapy, yeah, I'm excited. Too. You'll need to add that to your Facebook, your long Facebook title.
So if you do have any horses or know anybody that does need some physical therapy for their horses, you know, I'm working on other certifications, but you can just find me on Flyover Farm Facebook page. So it's Flyover Farm Jamie Jennings, Certified Monty Roberts Instructor. And yeah, so I'm really excited to be doing it. I have so much fun. My husband came down this morning, Glenn, and he was like, "This is boring." I'm like, no. Look, if I push right here, you can see the back muscle like move and activate. I'm like, "Don't you see these core activation stretches?" He's like, "What?"
Yeah, that's boring.
Okay, look at this horse's leg. It's a giant former bowed tendon that we're rehabbing. And he's like, "I don't see anything." I'm like, "It's a bowed tendon. How do you not see that?" So you know what? It takes somebody special to have the patience to do it. And I'm as patient as they come, man. I'll watch paint dry. So let's do it.
It's time for Breeds of the Alphabet. From Arabians to zebras, we take you on an adventure, highlighting a breed for every letter of the alphabet. Can we do it? Stay tuned in 2025 and find out.
Our first guest is one of my favorite people on the planet. Manjeev became a certified Monty Roberts instructor in 2019, and he is a polo player, and he lives in India, and he comes to Flag Is Up every year and teaches some courses and is just one of my favorite people. So, Manjeev, how are you, my friend?
Very good. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you for inviting me in.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you're at Flag Is Up, so we're not even talking to you on the other side of the world this time.
Luckily, yes, I am here. I'm enjoying summer weather here. And then as compared to my hometown, it's just going to be, I think, very humid and very hot when I go tomorrow.
Oh my gosh, you got to go home tomorrow. What is the summer like in India?
Summer goes, I think we're talking Celsius, so 47, 48, so probably 115 to 120, depending on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God, I thought Florida was hot.
Oh, gosh, that sounds so fun. Well, hey, we do this Breeds of the Alphabet segment, and we got to M, and I was like, there's nobody else that I want to talk to more than Manjeev about your Marwari horses, because you ride these. These are like, tell everybody a little bit about the Marwari breed.
You know, first of all, they are the only kind you find in one country, that's in India, nowhere else. Probably there are a couple of them in America and some now coming to Canada. But not anywhere else. It's a very rare breed. Comes from 12th century, around about here. And they've been bred for war and beauty. Because, you know, we got a history, long history of colonization, 1,200 years. Mm-hmm. And those horses were used for guerrilla warfare. And the best part of these horses are they're not very tall. They're 15 hands. They're very good at coming into war, do their stuff, and just go back to the bush. And it's easy to hide them. They were very well trained at that time.
So they're bred for battle and guerrilla warfare. Are they like ridiculously brave, or do you have to teach them that?
No, definitely. They're very brave and very sensitive because the connection is very, very unique with them. If they're connected with you, then they will do anything for you.
It's reminding it's giving me vibes of when in that movie Avatar, when you put the ponytail together with it. Yeah, is that it?
It is. You connected with the horse. There are stories like Maharana Pratap. There is one king. He's very famous, and his horse Chetak is also very famous. That the horse took him out of the war. He jumped over the wall of the castle, broke his leg, took the king out of the war zone for like 3 kilometers, and then died. So that's the kind of a story of these horses' bravery there in our history.
Wait, hold on. He jumped over the wall, broke his leg, and kept going to save the king?
At least 3 kilometers. So until he saw the king is out of the war and in danger, then he collapsed.
Oh my God. Well, tell me more stories. That's exciting. That's cool. I mean, that not like exciting for the horse, but for the king, that worked out.
No, that horse called his name was Chetak, and we have the bloodline under his name and very, very important bloodline. But the most important thing I tell you about these horses, the ears touches on top. So many times people call us and say, you know what, this is torture. You should not do this. You crop the ear of your horses just to make them look pretty. But that's the first sign of Marwari horses, that the ears touch on top.
Yeah. So
no other breed will have any.
And I think that was what drew me to them, because I follow you on Facebook and you train a lot of the horses and you have Marwari horses, and that, you know, you've got the between the ears photo where you take a picture of what's in the distance and it's between the horse's ears. Well, your horse's ears shape together like a heart. And so that's not trained. That just is natural.
That's just natural. And that's the best part. The minute you mix breed with them in any other breed, the first thing which will go away is the ears.
Really?
That's how you can preserve the authenticity of the breed.
So it's so funny because it does look like they're stitched together at the top.
Yeah, a lot of time people say, this is cruelty. What you guys are doing is not good. But then I have to explain to them, this is not us. It's nature.
That's amazing. I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know that it would go away if you just crossbreed a little bit.
First thing it will be.
Are they getting extinct? Are there low numbers? Do they need to be more of them? What's the story?
They were extincted during the time of the English colony, because as I said, they were very good at warfare, and it was difficult for British to control the people of Indian Revolution. So they tried to eliminate the entire breed, but in a way that they just made everybody think that this breed is not good, this is not performing, you should not breed it. But the actual reason was very different. So they tried to introduce thoroughbred to the Indian market. And it was 14th, 15th century, and then they started to drop numbers because nobody was breeding and it was difficult to preserve them. There were very few number. But late, I think in 20th century, there are a couple of associations, they just came forward, and some kings, those were still ruling their areas, they started to preserve the breed, and now it is coming up very nicely. We got very good numbers, and so far it was not allowed to export that horse out of India. Only very few people, on the basis of tons of rules and regulation and permissions, you had to take it from the government to bring it outside, maybe just for some museum or study. Commercialization wasn't there, that people cannot just buy for leisure and then take it to their country. It's opening up now.
So basically, you're not going to send me a Marwari horse.
I would love to. Maybe another couple of years.
That sounds good. So now, did I read that they have like a unique gait?
Yes. So they are known for like kind of a gait, which we call Reval. It's like a kind of a trotter horses, right? So they have this kind of a gait, which is very similar to trotter horses.
So we over here, we would call it a gated horse. It would be considered a gated horse.
You can say that, but like they learn, they're not naturally into that gait, but they can learn. They can train into that gait. We call it Reval. So they stay on trotting all time and extended trots before they break into canter, but they can be trained. It's not the natural gait.
Gotcha.
Now, do you play polo on Marwaris?
Yes, I do. But another thing is, the anatomy of that horse is not very great for polo, because polo is a high intense, like you need a lot of physical agility and power. And the anatomy of Marwari horses are not that good to stop and go for a longer time. Their legs, their bones are a bit narrow. So, but you can do basic polo, a low-level polo, definitely. We do jump, we do dressage, we do endurance. They're very good for endurance. They go 40, 50 kilometers a day without any problem. But polo, yes, very low level. You can just do at home for a pleasure. Not okay. Competitive.
So my kind of polo, yes. Your kind of polo, probably not.
Yeah, I need to come for the thoroughbreds or Argentine horses.
Is that what you use over there for polo? I was wondering that.
No, Marwari horses are only used for endurance.
No, what do you use for polo over there?
I use thoroughbreds and Argentine polo horses.
Okay.
Because Argentine polo horses are the best in the world for polo. It's a crossbreed of their working Criollo horses and thoroughbreds. Wow.
And the Marwaris, what colors do they come in?
Ooh, they come in all sorts of color. But Marwari specifically, the most important one are the dark bay and gray.
Those are the kind people like the most.
Yeah, and there'll be a paint also in it. But the dark gray one is very, very important because of the tone of the color and the area from where they belong. It's very hot. So basically, Marwari horse comes from a region of one state in India called Marwad. Marwad was a semi-arid desert, and the people from that region called Marwadi, the language they speak called Marwadi, the horse comes from that region called Marwadi as well. So that's why this horse called Marwadi.
Oh, so it's everything from that region.
Yeah, it's in that region called Jodhpur. So that's the initial place in Rajasthan, very rich in culture, history, heritage, everything, you name it, and it's there.
When they were used for war, was mounted archery big in India?
It is still. We are the only one who has a mounted regiment of our army still active in our defense forces. We are the only country.
Wow. Okay. Have you done it?
I didn't do any, but Paul is enough for me. I think I managed to swing a ball in it. Like a mallet and ball, if I can do that connection, I'm good enough. But yes, a lot of endurance we do. We just go for 10, 15 days traveling. No problem. These horses are known for their hardy hooves. They can go in stone, sand, water, name it, any weather. They're perfectly fine.
Now, in case you guys didn't notice, Manjeev is like kind of a badass polo player, right? And the coolest thing is, doesn't your wife play polo?
Yes, that's the only reason, because I'm in horses.
Really?
Yeah.
You married it? You married into it?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I married into it. I got pushed after I married.
I didn't know you were a horse husband first.
Oh, my God. I was husband first, and then I became a horse slave.
Horse slave.
Because she needed a groom, and the groom was supposed to be reliable and doesn't answer back. So, you know, who else? Husband. Make sure he quits his job, he learns about horses, push him into horses, and then he loves horses anyways, he's going to stay there. So you don't pay him, he's very loyal, and then you go and ride your horses and you look after your stable.
Jamie, why he not? Might be the only horse husband certified Monty Robert instructor.
Yeah.
Probably so far.
Yeah.
I mean, basically what I'm hearing is you just liked this girl. Then she suckered you into marrying her. And, oh, my groom didn't turn up. I need you to become a groom. And by the way, I'm going to teach you the sport of polo. And you're going to become really, really freaking good at it. And then you're going to go to America and get certified as a Monty Roberts instructor. And then you're going to not only groom my horses, you're going to exercise them and you're going to train them.
Yes, for sure. And you're going to hold my horse when I play.
Is she better than you? You better say yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. She's like a bone on a horse. She's a 4-star eventer from France.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. We got to get her on.
Yeah, we need to get her on. Yeah.
And she's also Monty Roberts' advanced student. So she says, you know what? I'll follow you a little bit and then I throw you in the deep end. She said, after advance, I don't need to be instructor. You go ahead.
So she doesn't want to get the certification?
No, we already fought enough. I don't think there were two instructors in one house. There would be any house. I think we would have two different entrances of the houses and two different entrances of the farm.
Your wing of the house and my wing. Oh my God, Manjeev, yeah. I want to come visit you so bad. We've talked about it. And I'm putting it on my list because I want to come out. I want to ride tomorrow a horse and I want to have your wife teach me how to play polo.
We are shifting our farm to Jaipur, very near to Jodhpur, where Marwadi breed comes from. And you can Google Jaipur is a city of that state, capital of that state. And it is very, very famous for a lot of good food, culture, shopping, colors, cuisine, if you like Indian spices, and heat. The weather is hot.
I love it. I'll try to come in the off season. But I will tell you that it is quite a vegetarian friendly place, right?
Yes, we are in our country. Yes, there are a lot of meat habits also, eating habits, but it's the biggest country with like a lot of vegetarian percentage lives in.
You'll be right at home, Jamie. Curry and no meat. You'll be perfect.
Oh, my God. You can go 365 days without repeating a dish and all vegetarian.
Oh, my God. I'm coming.
She's ready.
You know, 28 states, 28 cuisines.
Well, you were looking for a place to go. You know, there you go.
All right. I'll see you next week.
Most welcome. I'm flying tomorrow. Please pack your bags.
Well, Manjeev, where can people go to check you out? And I mean, like in a non, you know.
See, first of all, they can look at me on Monty Roberts' website. I'm instructor for India. And then otherwise, they can check on our social media, which is Natural Horsemanship India.
Natural Horsemanship India is what you said?
Yes.
Okay.
And everything is available there. What do? We teach Monty's concept there. We have all sorts of things. People who want to do internship, learn more, everything.
Love it.
Whatever I can contribute myself into.
Love it. Perfect.
Well, Manjeev, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us. And I definitely need to get your wife's phone number. I got to talk to her.
Definitely. I think that's what happens every time I give my interview and I end up like giving her. Okay, you know what? You stay on wherever you are. We need that one.
I mean, I totally meant that. I just thank you for coming on. I promise I won't call her, but if you could give me your number, that'd be great.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Manjeev.
Thank you. You have
safe
a good day.
Travels.
For first-time horse owners and new riders, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel and Absorbeen to bring you My New Horse. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities, exclusive experiences, and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines looking for easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit MyNewHorse.com.
Well, if you own a horse and feed supplements, the Equine Excellent Institute has an opportunity for you for a chance to win a $100 Visa gift card. Take their 10-minute survey and enter your contact information, which is kept confidential at the end. The link to the survey is in today's show notes. Just look right there on your podcast player. It'll be right there in your show notes. And now for our final part of our saddle series with Schleza Saddles. And by the way, Miriam, it's taken me this long to figure out exactly how to say that name.
Well, you nailed it. Oh, so good. Very well done.
We've been practicing a lot with the commercials. And Saddle Fit for Life. Today we have Miriam Boutros-Dale. She's managing director of Schleza Saddlery. And we are discussing how poor saddle fit can masquerade as something else entirely. You know, this is a very common thing, I think. And you know, Jamie and I have talked about it. And Jamie, you know, when Jamie gets all these thoroughbreds in for retraining, she puts the saddle on. And a lot of times we talk about the fact that there's an issue there. And a lot of times it's saddle fit. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so as a trainer of off the track thoroughbreds, I feel like it is my duty to own at least 100 saddles. So I'm working on it.
Yeah. Or just a couple adjustable ones. That's another option.
Miriam, tell us about your role there.
Okay. So I, like you said, I'm managing director now. I've been with the company for almost 20 years. Oh, wow. And it's honestly, truly been the best 20 years in my working career because I'm doing something that I love. And we have quite a few other people here, 20, 25 years. And it's not just a job. We're helping horses. And as an avid rider, and I competed in 3-day eventing for many, many years. And before I came to Schleza, I didn't know what I didn't know. And I think back now, all these issues I had with different horses, I'm like, oh my goodness, if only I'd known it was saddle fit. And I didn't know that. So I'm really happy to be able to help horses and riders worldwide in the role that I'm in. And yeah, it's just it's a wonderful, wonderful way to spend your day.
And you're in Ontario. We have a lot of listeners up that way. So
we do. We're our manufacturing is in Ontario, but we have our saddle fitters traveling all over North America and the US, in different parts of Canada. We also have a division in Germany, and they expand to various places in Europe. Huh. We service Australia and even in Dubai and all over. We're really expanding rapidly, especially with the different types of saddles that we offer. Now people are able to adjust some of them on their own for the areas that are more remote. So it really is global now, which is not how it was 20 years ago. So I'm very happy that we've been able to expand worldwide.
And I know today you wanted to talk about how, you know, poor saddle fit can masquerade as other things entirely. And there's so much to saddle fit. And, you know, one of those considerations I know is length why is it's not something we talk about a lot with saddles? And I assume you mean length from front to back, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It is one of the, so there are so many things. And like I said before, when you don't know what you don't know, and when we have our team, you know, we do 80-point saddle fit evaluations, a lot of it's education, and we chalk and draw like a saddle support area and explain to the clients where the saddle should sit and where it should not sit and why. And when you map it out, it becomes very straightforward. You say, okay, this is where it ends. It ends in a certain area. It ends in the front. And that is the real estate you're working with. And when you have saddles sit in areas that they shouldn't sit in, then you're sitting on nerve endings and up in the lumbar, billets alignments are off, and then all sorts of things could happen that you don't realize may be even happening. Saddles are pinching, saddles are sliding forward, and then suddenly, you know, horse bucking. I wonder why he's bucking. Why is my horse not moving forward? Why is my horse tripping? Why are they going hollow? Why are they getting lameness issues? And so many things come from saddle fit, but so many things people don't realize. They think, oh, he's cranky, or, oh, I need a different trainer, or, oh, I need different spurs. And there's sometimes it is as simple as, does it fit the saddle sport area? If it does not, it could cause so many things that you couldn't even imagine would be caused by it.
What kind of things will happen if your saddle's too long?
Well, too long. So the too long is one of the most common things we see. And the problem with the saddle that is too long, once it's too long, there is nothing you can do with that saddle at that time. No flocking is going to help it. No tree adjustment is going to help it because it is too long. So what happens when a saddle is too long, okay, it passes the 18th rib. It starts sitting off the rib cage, and there's no supportive structure underneath like the rib cage. So when it's too long, you have your breakover point when the horse is moving. So walk, trot, canter. And then it essentially pushes that saddle, because now the saddle's sitting where the horse has the most movement in the back, and it pushes the saddle forward onto the shoulder. Then you have a bridging issue. You have a now saddle tree sitting on the shoulder issue. And then you have the back of the saddle digging in the lumbar issue, which can cause a whole host of things. And that's why it is one of the worst saddle fit issues, because you can't chop the saddle off. Now, you could perhaps get different panels put on the saddle, things like that. But at that moment in time, at a saddle fitting appointment, regardless of what the brand is, a length cannot be fixed with that saddle because it's the way it's built. And it really will impede the movement of the horse. A lot of horses will then start resisting. They'll go hollow. They'll start getting dips in their backs. And it's a lot of problems can be caused by a saddle that's too long. And it's as simple as just measuring the saddle support area. Every saddle fitter should. We see a lot of saddle fitters that, you know, have different training. They disregard this notion of the saddle support area, but it's based on the anatomy of the horse. That doesn't lie. The saddle should not sit in certain areas and should sit in certain areas. That's, you know, a fact. It's not a Schleza fact. It's not a saddle fit for life fact. It's a horse anatomy, you know, reality. And it's very, very important to follow that.
So let's switch gears to gullet channel. What is it and why is it important?
So the gullet channel, sometimes we always joke, we say it's like the forgotten space. Okay. So it's the channel that runs down the center of your saddle between the two panels, and it provides spinal clearance. But it's not enough just to clear the spine. You've got to clear the ligaments and nerve endings on the side as well. So often we see saddles that have too narrow of a channel, and what happens then, it creates pressure directly on the horse's spine and the processes and the surrounding muscles. And over time, that pressure can cause muscle atrophy, soreness, restricted movement, and even nerve impingement. So when you put your saddle on the horse, you want there to be space not only for the spine, but everything surrounding the spine. So on an average horse, 3 to 4 fingers clearance. Let's call it, you know, like a from a woman's small hand, just with your fingers a little bit spread apart, you want at least 3 to 4 fingers clear. So about 10 centimeters. And then when the horse bends, and the saddles will always move when the horse is moving and bend, then you have still the clearance when the horse is bending from left to right, as well as going straight. If you have anything narrow, you could see some older saddles there, like two finger clearance, I don't know, 4 centimeters. I mean, it barely clears the spine, never mind when the horse is moving or bending. So that's something that anybody can do. Flip your saddle over, make sure it's at least 10 centimeters all the way through, not just in the front, because some will be nice and wide in the front and they go super, super narrow in the back, but the horse's spine doesn't change. It's straight all the way through. So you want to make sure that you've got that nice clearance from front to back and really let the horse move freely from side to side without anything causing any pressure.
That's good to know, because a lot of times we think about doing the finger test in the front, but, you know, not the back, right? So it's not something that we even look at. One other thing is the angle of the tree. Now, that's something that I think we all know that we have to be aware of, but what kind of things do we look for there?
Well, this is something that often is overlooked, but it does play a really big role. So what happens is you don't want just a static measurement. So when you look at your horse, you look at their shoulder, you want the front of the saddle, the angle of the front of the saddle to match the angle of the shoulder. But you also need to take into account the horse in motion, because when a horse is standing, they're one way. When they're moving, their entire shoulder rotates upwards and backwards. So you want to make sure that saddle is angled to meet the angle of the horse's shoulder in motion. Because if it's too narrow, the angle to the shoulder angle, when the horse moves his shoulder back, it's going to basically hit into the gullet plate. And then you've got, you know, scapula damage and dramatic things could happen. So, you know, and some horses have like steep shoulders, upright shoulders, and many horses are asymmetrical. One side is bigger than the other. So you want to always make sure that the angle matches the shoulder angle. The angle of the tree matches the angle of the shoulder. And just allow full rotation, especially the trot and canter, because that's where, you know, the horse really needs that momentum to move forward. They really need to be able to move their shoulder back. And you can see a lot of times when horses have really like short strides, often they're only able to move their shoulders so far back, and then they start hitting the tree, the gullet plate in the tree. So once that angle matches the shoulder, it really allows full rotation, and suddenly you have a much, much more forward moving horse and no long-term damage caused by, you know, pinching in the trapezius and the nerves, and all kinds of things can cause. Again, when things are pinching, the horse can get hollow because they're trying to move away from the pain, and hollowness often leads to other lameness issues, etc. So it is another one of those saddle fit issues that can cause many, many issues. And, you know, a lot of these things, like there's, you know, 9 main points of saddle fit. You know, our fitters do 80 point evaluations in motion, standing in the aisle, and in motion. But we try to make this simple for people because it's very confusing when you're not.
There's so much to it, right? There's so many parts.
There's so many things to it.
Yeah.
So we created actually something when I first started. We created 9 points of saddle fit videos, and we still have those. They're still going strong.
They're on our YouTube channel, if I remember right.
Yeah. And it's very simple. We break it down: length, gullet channel, tree angle, tree width, billet alignment, balance. And we try to keep it very simple in bite sizes to really help people say, oh, okay, you know, step one, step two, step three, and so on. But I thought we would talk about these 3 today because they are the most, well, 3 of the some top 3, I guess you could say, of what we see ongoing, like on most appointments. If someone's new to us, you know, a lot of times the saddles are too long, and a lot of times the gullet's too narrow.
You know what this tells me, though, Miriam? This tells me there's so much to it. Just get one of your saddle fit technicians to come out and see the horse. That's what it tells me.
What we take pride in is, of course, we want everyone to have a Schlesa saddle, but our appointments are for an 80-point evaluation, and we will evaluate any brand of saddle. We will evaluate it. We have a, you know, full report. Our fitter will explain. We watch you ride. We, you know, do all kinds of measurements, and we will help you understand how is it fitting. Is it fitting? Yes. Is it fitting? No. Why is it not fitting? What can you do? Can something be done to help it fit? If not, what are your options and what should you look for? And if that's why we, it's an education, the appointment. And that's what we take pride in, that our fitters are able to bring that education to every horse and rider, no matter what saddle you have. Doesn't mean we can fit every saddle, because like I said, if it's too long, that's not something we can do.
A chainsaw is the only option there.
Yeah.
So Miriam, how do they get a hold of a saddle fitter? What do they do?
Multiple ways. They can visit our website, shleza.com, and contact us through there. And we also have social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. You can contact us through all of those. But the best way is through our website, or you can call our 1-800-225-2242 and speak to our wonderful Carmelina in customer care, and she would direct you to the right person. We also have an events page on our website, shows you where all our fitters will be. Some of our fitters are local. They do sort of local appointments ongoing, and other times we do them in clinics. We'll fly a team to, say, Florida, for example, for 2 weeks and see clients throughout Florida, and then the team will then fly to Washington and see people there, etc. So that's all on our website for everyone to have a look.
Miriam, do you guys fit Western saddles?
Well, what we do is we will assess Western saddles, and our team, again, like with the 80-point evaluation. And yes, if there's anything we could do to help a client with their Western saddles, we will do so. And Schles also manufactures Western saddles for various disciplines in Western. And again, they're adjustable to the horse, with an adjustable panel system, and to the rider with adjustable ground seat, so you can change the seats and the stirrup, your fender placement, because it's on adjustable stirrup bar. So there's not very many Western saddles that are adjustable like that on the market. So that's something very exciting for us as well.
That's like be able some to Tony Stark people. Western saddle fitting,
yes,
sort of Avengers thing. That's awesome.
It.
Jamie, you should check out
the Avengers saddle fitting, yes.
You should check out their fusion saddle. It's really cool. They have a Western English kind of married fusion saddle.
Yeah. It
kind of reminds me of the old military, was it McClellan or whatever? It kind of has that look in the front, but it's really cool looking.
Interesting you talked about Fender, because I just got my first new Western saddle. Well, new to me, a friend gifted me a Western saddle, and the Fender placement is like weird to my legs. So I'm like, I feel like I'm having to retrain my legs. And I thought maybe it was just me, but it could potentially be fender placement that's not compatible.
That's right. Yeah, it's a thing. And if it's not in the right spot, it won't help you as a rider either. So that's why having something that you can adjust is great. And I mean, we have saddles for Western dressage, for trail, a ranch versatility saddle. And we're actually also going to be launching a half breed saddle. It's like an Australian stock saddle, Western saddle, very soon. So we're very excited about that as well.
I'm online looking at the ranch versatility saddle.
Jamie's shopping. Ready. Look out. Miriam, thank you for doing this. Really appreciate it. And definitely check out their YouTube channel. Just search Schleza on YouTube and you'll find it there. And I'll put a link to the website and everything in our show notes. We appreciate you guys helping us out to understand saddle fit.
Thank you so much for having us, and happy riding to everybody.
Non-GMO whole food nutrition is the basis of the entire Daily Dose Equine program. All of their feeds are minimally processed to retain full integrity of the original ingredients. They start with high-quality whole oats, whole barley, hay pellets, sunflower seeds, and beet pulp. The grains and soybeans are roasted for safety, then mixed with the remaining ingredients and bagged. They add no fillers, no wheat, no corn, no soybean meal, no hulls, and no distillers grains. Feed less, yet improve body condition and energy. At Daily Dose Equine, they never forget that natural is better and simplicity is key. Learn more at dailydoseequine.com.
Do they have dailydosehuman.com? I need to improve my body condition and energy.
It's the distiller's grains there that I thought you were going to hop on. I thought you were going to say, I'm glad they don't feed them to the horses because we need them for the beer.
I'll take all of them too. Bring them all over here.
Is it beer or is it that whiskey that would be distiller's grains would be whiskey, right?
That'd be whiskey.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, all right. Got my wrong alcohol there. Sorry, people. Let's do some weird news.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race. In Jamie's Weird News.
It's more like women gone wild. Girls gone wild today. Well, sort of. It's a little half and half. Half girls gone wild, animals gone wild, and men...
Just being men.
Their magic. They're showing their magic. I'll explain in a second. But I would like to thank all the people who were looking through the news and they were like, dude, that's super weird. And they emailed it to me. weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com. Janelle, Delia, even Glenn sent me one. Laureen, Jenny, Shelley, Stephanie, Melissa, and Nicole. All of you guys sent me some multiple news stories, and it's always
You know what I try and do? I try and find the ones that are not Florida to try and deflect you. So
I know, and Glenn sends it, and he's like, all caps at the top, bright red, not Florida. Florida. Well, let's stick with the girls gone wild theme right now. And this is just people being stupid. So we're going to go to Toledo, Ohio. According to the Sylvania Township Police Department, officers responded to a call on Tuesday. Where did they go, Glenn? Where does all stupid drama happen? In a Walmart parking lot. That's right. They responded to a call to the Walmart on Central because somebody had a dog locked inside their car. The windows were cracked, barely. The dog is like, you can't leave a dog in a car in August. How stupid are you? July, whatever. You can't do it. So anyway, the police come. And they see the dog and the dog is like barking and growling at people through the windows. So they're like, what do we do? The windows were cracked, but there's no water. And so they have to obviously handle it. Then they peek in there and they're like, why are there animal crates in there? And they see four kittens and two cats inside animal crates. And they said they weren't moving. So, of course, they called the dog warden, the owner of a rescue organization called Fur Angels, to come and take the animals into the custody. The police are swarming the car. And as this was happening, they went inside Walmart to find the owner of the vehicle. And they found Dawn. So Dawn was like, oh, what? I don't have to include mugshots. There's a mugshot in the picture. I scrolled by.
Does she fit? It fits.
It just looks like a Walmart shopper. Let me just go with that. She looks like she spends a lot of time in the Walmart, bless her heart. Okay, so she said, I just ran in there to get a few things and I can't take my animals in there, but the dog's a service animal and you can't take him away. And no, I don't have any documentation to prove he's a service animal, which is why I couldn't take him in the Walmart. And so according to authorities, she then freaked out, jumped on the officer, got him in a headlock while she looks like the kind of woman who could get
that
a cop in the
zero
headlock.
To 100 in no time, didn't it?
Zero to 100. So there was another officer. He came inside, grabbed her by the forearm, took her down to the ground, put her in the handcuffs. She jumped back up, wrestled the first cop back. I mean, it was a complete S show in the Walmart parking lot in Toledo, Ohio, but she was eventually booked into the Lucas County Jail on, by the way, counts of animal cruelty, but also assaulting a police officer. I mean,
they probably would have let her go had she not done that.
I mean, how dumb.
Don't like try I and said, understand them, Jamie. Don't.
This is the kind of woman who could get a cop in a headlock.
Yeah.
In another Girls Gone Wild episode regarding animals, we're going to go to Florida, baby. And more specifically, Key West. You and I were just talking the other day about how Key West has what animal that's protected?
Chickens. Tons and tons of roosters and chickens.
There are chickens and roosters everywhere.
Everywhere.
So, bless her heart.
I think they're protected. You're not allowed to do anything to a chicken.
Yeah, you can't mess with them. Yeah. Even though I chased him at 4 o'clock in the morning across the parking lot because it was crowing outside my bedroom hotel door, and then I got offered drugs by some crackhead. Anyway, the chickens, you can't mess with them. So, bless her heart, sweet little angel, Cynthia Sosa. She's 38 years old, and she was at an intersection, and she stopped because there was, what else? A chicken crossing the road. So, she stops to let said chicken cross the road. Well, there was a woman behind her who drove up and was like, honk, 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 and started honking at her. And she's like, there's a chicken. We have to let the chicken cross the road. Well, this other driver, who is apparently remaining nameless, decided to speed and pass high speed Cynthia. And she ran over the chicken. Well, that didn't sit well with 38-year-old Cynthia Sosa.
I bet it didn't.
Who apparently then began a high-speed pursuit.
And if anybody's been to Key West, the roads are very narrow, full of people, cars. I mean, they're just...
Not an easy place to make a high-speed
pursuit. They're not highways.
No. So she takes off, and when the driver got to like a plate, like a stop, I mean, go fast. So she
go block.
Drives around her, pulls in front of her, and blocks her car from going. She runs up to the woman's window, and apparently the woman in the car had her window down. They start fighting through the window, and they're punching each other. Cynthia said, I wanted to teach her a lesson. So what did she do? She pulled out her bear mace.
Oh, what, wow.
Bear mace in Key West. She sprayed
so
the
many
woman
bears there.
Directly in the face. Oh, no. While she was in her driver's seat. Well, that didn't go well. And she's like, I got to get out of here. So she gets in her car and takes off. It's Key West. Where are you going to go? Yeah. Out into the water?
Yeah, there's tourists and traffic everywhere.
She gets pulled over almost immediately and arrested. Even though she was the one trying to protect the chicken, she has now been charged with aggravated battery and somehow a count of burglary with assault and battery. So did, I don't know.
Did
all
they
the
charge
story.
The other woman for being a dumbass? Please tell me they charged her for being a dumbass. That needs to be a felony, dumbassery.
I think she'll rethink running over chickens again when she thinks about the mace that went into her eyeballs.
It's ironic that this happened in one of the most chill places in the country, Key West, where everybody is really super chill.
Or drunk.
Many
or high.
Reasons. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Okay, so world champion runner Chris Robinson, he's an American, and he was running in a competition in the Czech Republic on Tuesday. And he's 24 years old, and he was competing in the 400-meter hurdles. And so he goes through, starts running, and it was about the first 200 meters of the first race. Now, I want you to imagine what a champion hurdler looks like, okay? I'm not going to profile.
Tall and thin is what I'm picturing.
And probably not white is what I'm going to go
okay,
with.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
So rumor has it that people like that, that are super athletic, giant 6'4" athletes,
oh, no.
May be endowed in special ways. If you know what I'm saying, I think I've done enough. So apparently it was the first 200 meters of the race that this American athlete, who is
blatantly obvious,
hurdles world champion, started to notice that something unwanted was hanging out of his shorts. Oh. And he apparently, I would imagine, almost knocked the hurdle down because... It was very obvious to everybody. Now, I'm pissed because Pixar didn't happen. He kept running.
Okay.
And he kept jumping the hurdles. And he kept trying to push it back in. as he's
please
running,
tell me this video.
Everybody in the crowd, all the commentators, equally, they said gobsmacked. The TV broadcasters were left desperately trying to apologize to the millions of viewers at home who were in, quote, full view of Robinson's manhood. As he hurtled over the obstacles, attempts put it back in place were unsuccessful.
Well, he's running like 40 miles an hour.
This is the worst part. This is a line in the article. In fact, the more he tried to rectify the problem, the bigger it became. Thanks to a huge lunge across the finish line, he maintained his champion status and won.
There you go.
Thing.
Yay. We're so proud to be an American right now.
Yay! Go America! USA!
I don't know who his sponsor was, Nike or whatever, but Nike, you need to fix that problem right there.
Former English athlete Tim Hutchins, who was commentating, said, wow, he really hit that ninth hurdle hard. I should quit on that one, but I can't because we got to go to Fresno, California.
All right, one more.
This is an emergency. It was an emergency. A water rescue call. There's a canal like under one of the roads near McKinley and Peach Avenue. And somebody calls 911. There's a body. There's a body stuck in the canal, and the rushing water is pinning this person up against the underpass thing, like the little hook where the water runs under it. And we need 911, 911. So 911 rushes out, and they all swarm to the bridge, and they're going, and they look down. It was a blow-up doll. Somebody lost their blow-up doll in the rushing water.
Are we sure it wasn't the
other guy? Don't tie them together. Don't tie them together. The irrigation district was notified so that they can remove the doll so others don't also mistake it for a human. Yeah, the police were like, I'm not touching it.
It's now in this station, sitting on a desk chair in the station. Oh, it'll be there forever.
They wouldn't even get it. They were like, nope, call the irrigation district, let them turn off the water.
All right, it's now at the county.
It's your problem now.
It's sitting there in the office. Okay, you had some stories today. They were definitely weird. Well, that one was very funny. Okay. Well, I'm going to end the day on some good news. And by the way, auditors, we will not have a post show today. We have some other things we have to get to. But some good news coming out of Massachusetts, Fitchburg, which is a tiny little town in Massachusetts up toward the northern border. And this guy named Paul Cochran, he plays the lottery on a regular basis. He went and bought his Powerball ticket. And then he was the next day, and he thought, well, you know, I got my Powerball ticket yesterday. I think they had the drawing. I'll just go get another Powerball ticket. And he didn't check the first one. So he went in, got another Powerball ticket. He always plays the same numbers. He's played the same numbers for years. So he ends up with two Powerball tickets. What he didn't realize is they were for the same drawing. So he thought he was buying them for two different drawings. He bought them for the same drawing, and thank God he did, because he got five numbers on each of those tickets, and each ticket paid $1 million.
Wait. So it's $1 million for
if you get five, you get a flat $1 million on the ticket. And he was one number away from winning the Powerball, by the way, on both tickets. So he bought two identical tickets, thinking he was playing for two different days. Ends up winning two different tickets, ended up with $2 million.
How much is a Powerball ticket? $2? That was well spent, my friend.
Yeah, well spent.
No.
So yeah, he plays the same numbers all the time and has for years. But so good for him. He had a good day. I saw his picture of him holding the $2 million check. He looked very happy.
What was the actual, because it says he picked the numbers 5, 9, 25, 28, and 69. I wonder what his Powerball number was.
I don't know, but he didn't get the Powerball number. But you know what? I would take the $2 million. I wouldn't be unhappy about it. So, all right, that's it.
It says here that the odds of winning the Powerball jackpot are 1 in 292 million. And then it goes on to say the chances of winning twice with the same numbers on two different tickets are astronomically low. That's because nobody's ever done that before.
Yeah, that's right. All right, everybody, you have a terrific day. We'll see you all here on Friday. Get your weird news for next week into weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com and get your ads in for Friday's Really Bad Ads to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Too many J's. So Jennifer handles all the really bad ads. And we do need some this week, so get your ads in. We have prizes to give away, so you'll be entered for those as well. See you, everybody.
Spay, neuter, geld.